Listen to every Dolphins game here on WQAM. It's sponsored by Game Time at the Shops at Sunset Place. Game Time. Watch it, play it, win it. And by Transworld Business Advisors. Looking to sell your business? Let the experts at Transworld Business Advisors help you get what your business is worth. Log on to tworld.com and hear the Dolphins here. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD WQAM.
All right. Well, we're going to check in on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. That's 56022. Sage Rosenfels, former quarterback with the Dolphins, now a writer for The Athletic in Minnesota. We'll check in as the Dolphins get set to take on the Vikings on the road this Sunday. And the Vikings also fighting for their last playoff position right now as well after a couple losses here the last couple weeks and no offense. Fired their offensive coordinator, so we'll get caught up on everything there. What do we got coming in?
All right, well, it's being dominated right now in the last hour by our Sex Island conversation, so I'll read you some of those texts that's coming up from that. I just looked up Sex Island, the website, and I swear if heaven is like that, I'll go to church three times a day. I'm a horrible Catholic. That was the first one that just came in. I know older gentlemen, 60 plus, that arrange dates with young, hot Colombian ladies 2 to 3 times a day with different hotties via Facebook. Just saying, you don't need to go to that website. Okay. And you could do the same thing in the Dominican for $1,500 or less. Don't pay $6,000 to Sex Island.
Yeah.
And someone said Sex Island almost trumps cocaine and hookers at this point. Well, that's exactly what Sex Island basically is. If you really want to put it out there. Joe, are you really that surprised of Hollywood's fascination with the Sex Island? You would be too if you only got it once a year. Hashtag shots fired.
It's always when you're reading that to see his face in the back is
Hollywood goes to Spanky Island. Laughing my ass off. Steel organs. Hollywood is something else.
We've gotten really childish here. Yeah. Talking about Spanky Wanky now. Jeez. What's wrong with us? Mm.
My friend is going to Cuba to get paid for that stuff also. What happened there? What? Sex Island is for real. Just go to Trinidad during Carnival. The whole island is a sex island. I just spit my coffee all over my truck. Quote, you could send 7 people to Sex Island for that. I've been to Sex Island. It's called Taiwan. I think it's the same guy yesterday who texted it.
Hey, possible. Everybody's got their favorite place to go.
That's it.
As you get older, you find a lot of guys go, I'm done. I'm done with these women over here in this country. I'm done. I'm going to. And guy goes, hey, I've had great success in Colombia. You want to go with me next time?
That's really crazy. I can't believe how literally Sex Island has dominated the text machine.
It's also rare that he gets so uncomfortable with a topic, too.
Who?
You.
Yeah.
As you can tell, like the strip club thing got you a little bit uncomfortable, but Sex Island is definitely not in your comfort zone.
No.
I don't care about Sex Island. I know you're not going.
Like, I got no shot.
What does it have to do with me going?
Well, I don't know. You're making a big deal about this Sex Island and all the prostitutes on this island and what the trip cost. And
listen, like we had that Grand Cruise a couple years ago, and I know that you guys sent Cap and I went for the afternoon. If we had the Sex Island trip, I'm 100% voting for Hollywood to go. Not even a question. Q's got a girl. He's fine. I know Hollywood's married to the kid or whatever, but I would want to send him there.
I mean, I wouldn't go solo.
Well, who'd you go? What do you mean?
I'd have to bring someone as like a witness with me.
What do you mean, Biff?
You know, they go like try to steal my kidneys and sell them over there.
Bring his wife with him.
Yeah, that would be a good trip. Hey, we're going to Trinidad and Tobago. Wow, awesome. It's just a little island. It's called Sex Island.
I mean, a cool bachelor party trip, right?
Yeah, except the fact you bring 10 and you bring 6 home. That's not a good percentage.
What else you got, man?
You want me to read some actual sports?
Guys die at bachelor parties. It happens.
Someone says Matthew's bachelor party, Crancy. That's a long time away, buddy.
Yeah, that's
okay. Sex Island comes with its own farm.
A little bit of time.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
It's probably gonna be more expensive when more people find out about it too.
I agree. Yeah. Oh, Splib says maybe Hollywood could take the next fantasy draft for his losers at Sex Island instead of Mississippi. It wasn't Mississippi, guy.
It wasn't Mississippi.
Splib always says Mississippi.
Where do you go to Memphis?
Why are all my friends losers?
I don't know.
Cause I'm a loser.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Went to Nashville.
Nashville.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
We did Vegas the year before.
That's true.
Then you did Key West the year before that. We get around.
Yeah.
We just haven't made it to Sex Island.
You guys are just a bunch of wild guys,
now
man.
Guys are texting in. I'll go with Hollywood if you need somebody. There you go. You got a couple texters.
No, I'm going to need some muscle with me there just in case.
Splib also texted in again and said Hollywood has to pay 5 G's to get laid in Sex Island. He can come to Sis Trunk. There's some flock of heads there in the corner for $20. Good text, Splib. Well done.
God.
This is what you asked for text, and this is what is in the text machine today.
He's going to bring up this sex island thing every day.
Yeah, I know. He's fascinated with it. And it's okay. So someone says the real sex island's Costa Rica.
Correct.
I'm just making a push for them to be a sponsor of the show.
Someone said Nick Saban should go to Sex Island. That should be who you go with, Hollywood. You imagine that?
No.
A little radio promotion? Come join Hollywood and Nick Saban at Sex Island this weekend.
I got news for you. Terry wouldn't let Nick Saban, he'd have to get approval.
He couldn't come down to the island of Florida.
He would have no shot. She'd tell him what time to go, what time to be home.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes up to the lake house.
That's it.
Got a nice place on the lake.
If Drake wants his ball back, offer a Sex Island ticket in exchange to the guy.
I've seen Kenyon, and Kenyon Drake does not need to go to Sex Island.
Mm.
I've seen some of his friends. I sat with him next at the soccer game, he and his friend.
They do all right.
I don't think he needs any
Sex
help.
Island.
I think Kenyon does just fine. Yeah, I don't think you have to worry
about it. Splip texted in again and said, Hollywood, I'll go with you if you pay. They don't take my EBT card on Sex Island.
Hey, we gotta go ahead and go to break here.
You asked for text.
No, I'll never do it again.
How do you pay
I'm
for
done.
Something like that? Like, you can't just throw your Amex down, right?
You can.
I don't think so.
I went on the website.
I mean, I don't think you want to do much
They take
paper
Bitcoins
trail.
Also. Do you have any Bitcoins?
Oh, they take Bitcoin?
Yeah, they take Bitcoins.
That's surprising.
They like straight cash.
That's it.
They like straight cash everywhere.
I watched that video, Joe. They pick you up from the airport, and they take you on a yacht, and there's like 800 women on the yacht, and it's just you. Now, that might be worth $6,000
just
by itself.
No. I get the whole thing. How much is it again for the trip?
I think it was
$6,500, but if you get in on the Black Friday special, it's like $5,000.
Yeah. You get like $1,500 off.
All the guys are right, man. If you're going to do that trip, it's a lot cheaper way to go.
Joe, if there are 5-star recruits on Sex Island, Nick Saban would be there.
Oh, no question. If there was somebody complaining.
There's this defensive end that lives
on Sex
Island.
There's a guy over there
Island.
Working that was a big-time player.
What's that helicopter? It's all red. It's like crimson red.
Oh, no. He'd have an Alabama like jet plane going over there, man. You wouldn't have to worry about that.
We got
to
kill this conversation like mid 8 o'clock hour, by the way. Moving forward here, just in case.
Your wife's in the car.
Well, your wife shows up here. My wife is driving.
My wife doesn't listen to us. Are we playing country music?
Your wife finds out everything downstairs.
Are we listening to country music?
Hey, we got Sage Rosenfels, writer for The Athletic in Minnesota, going to join us. We'll talk about the Dolphins and the Vikings coming up here as we continue on. I just wasted part of my life with that Sex Island stuff again. Hey, I want to talk about sports-related injuries, though, coming up here right now is, boy, sooner or later, we all get injured. And if you're active, hey, everybody wants to go to the best sports medicine programs around, and we're lucky. We got Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, taking care of the Dolphins, the Heat, the Panthers, FIU Sports, and, of course, Dade County High School Sports, high school, college, and professional athletes from around the country. They make their way down here because they've got some of the best doctors, some of the top specialists in the business. Doctors like Uribe and Yagnik and Vijak and Heckman and Selznick. Foot and ankle specialist San Giovanni and Dr. Hodgkins. They got an office set up in Broward County and Davie up there. Dr. Swartzen's up there to take care of you. Hip and knee replacement doctors. It's just first class, man. It's one goal. Get you back out playing the sport you love quickly, whether it's a team sport or individual sport. Everybody wants to go to the best, and the best is Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. Here's all you have to do the next time you deal with an injury. Need a second opinion, or you know you need an operation, go to baptisthealth.net/ortho, and you can see those same doctors that work on million-dollar athletes every day.
Radio.com.
Let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Let's talk to Sage Rosenfels, former Dolphin quarterback, 12 years in the NFL, now writes for The Athletic. He's got the Locked On NFL pod for Minnesota. He does a lot of things up there in Minnesota. Sage, good morning. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sage, what's going on, man? How's my old tennis partner doing? How's everything?
I'm doing great. I wish I was playing tennis today, but the snow on the ground is halting that. So yeah. I'll have to wait till I make a trip to South Florida this winter.
Well, you guys had some interesting news to start the week here, as the offensive coordinator was let go. Looks like quarterback coach going to take over now. Were you surprised by the move with just a couple of games left? I know the offense has really struggled. What'd you think?
I wasn't surprised at all. I actually thought this move probably should have happened a week or a couple weeks ago. This offense has wildly underperformed from a year ago. There's basically two differences. You could actually say three differences. I think South Florida people understand this. Tony Sperano obviously passing right before training camp. That's one major difference. And the offensive line has struggled this year. And number two, the quarterback, Kirk Cousins. And number three, the offensive coordinator in John DeFilippo replacing Pat Shurmur, who went to the New York Giants. And, of course, you can't do anything about the O-line right now. You can't do anything about the quarterback right now. He's got a 3-year guaranteed contract.
Right.
You can do something about the offensive coordinator. So the offensive coordinator goes. There was some major, I don't know if there was differences of opinion or what. It's really been pretty tight-lipped within that organization as far as, you know, what that relationship was between Mike Zimmer and John DeFilippo. But if you just watch the game, you see a ton of, you know, 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, shotgun throw the football. And this is a, you know, this type of football team, this is not the Kansas City Chiefs, all right? This is win with defense, win with running the football, you know, do what, you know, say the Seattle Seahawks are doing right now, win ugly. You know, that's how they won a lot of games last year, rely on that defense, run the ball. Last year they were top 5 in the league in rushing. This year they're right down near the bottom, and not only rushing yards, but rushing attempts. They just don't hand the ball off very much. So obviously, John DeFilippo's opinion of how to score the most points was to throw the football. The problem is, and you'll probably see it this Sunday when the Vikings do that. When Kirk Cousins is in the pocket, bad things seem to happen. When he's back there holding on to the football and he doesn't get it out, and he's holding on to it. You know, this isn't Pat Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, where it seems like the longer they have the ball, you know, good things happen for the offense as they find someone down the field. He gets sacked, he sacks, he gets fumbled, he gets pressured, he throws the ball to the other team. Bad things seem to happen. So, you know, they've got Dalvin Cook back there. Obviously, the Florida State fans down there understand a tremendous weapon. He had 9 carries for 84 yards 2 weeks ago versus the Patriots, and that was a tight ball game until the very end.
Dalvin, is he being underutilized? Like, why is he being so underutilized, Dalvin Cook? I know he's banged up a little bit this season, but this is your horse. Don't you have to just ride with your horse? I know you paid a lot of money to Kirk Cousins, but Dalvin Cook might be the best player on offense.
Yeah, no, he's extremely explosive. I mean, anytime he touches the ball, he can take it to the house. And, yeah, that's a huge issue is why they haven't given him the ball. And he's been fairly healthy mostly this year. Obviously, he tore his ACL last year somewhere around week 5 or something, but he was looking great before that, and he's looked good. This year he has his runs of 0s and 1s, but he also has his runs of, you know, 50s and 60s, and a playmaker like that, you have to give him the ball. So, you know, it doesn't matter how much money they gave Kirk Cousins, $28 million, to me that's supply and demand. That's like capitalism in football. You know, supposedly he was the best free agent quarterback out there in the market. The Vikings decided to put their best foot forward, which I don't I'm not going to hate on them for that. You know, they went out and they got this supposed hot quarterback coach to be the coordinator, and they got supposedly the best quarterback on the market to be the quarterback, and they went out and paid a lot for both. And obviously, you know, he's not a $28 million quarterback, but, you know, whatever he is, if you can minimize his shortcomings, which is being in the pocket and all those types of things, and try to keep the quarterback out of trouble, hand the ball off to Dalvin Cook, is a pretty good, you know, thing to do. And not only that, they've got two tremendous wide receivers. They've got a tight end they haven't thrown the ball to nearly as much this year. So, I think the philosophy of how to win football games was very different between Mike Zimmer and John DeFilippo.
How's Kirk Cousins handled all the media bashing that's just kind of started about the bust? And every time you mention his name, you see 3-year, $84 million guaranteed contract. How's he handled all that, kind of for the first time getting bashed pretty good?
Well, yeah, I realize this is a guy who spent the first, 6 years of his career in the nation's capital, you know, and talk about having to deal with tough media and just that whole world inside the Beltway. So, you know, he's been there and he's been in, you know, tough situations before. You know, obviously he's got a lot of resolve. I think he'd like to have probably a little more say in what's going on. I was reading some stuff yesterday. Sounds like, you know, Kevin Stefanski's going to give him a little more say as far as, you know, the types of plays that he would like to run, that he's been successful with. I mean, this is a guy who has thrown for a lot of yards, played in a lot of football games, has won a lot of games and lost a lot of games. You got to think there's a game plan out there with the creation of a certain style of plays and the calling of those plays that can take this quarterback to be a successful quarterback on a team that has a lot of talent.
What's amazing also is that after last season, a quarterback looked like the difference to making, to having Minnesota be a Super Bowl team or not, and now is struggling again just to stay in the playoff hunt. Is that the main focus up there when it comes to sports radio or the newspapers, is the Kirk Cousins thing? Is that what's going on up there?
Well, it's a Vikings town. I mean, you know, very much, I think like a lot of NFL cities, you know, the NFL team, you know, sort of is the number one game in town. You know, it's not the Timberwolves, it's not the Twins, it's not the Minnesota Golden Gophers, it's the Vikings. There's a lot of passion up there, and, you know, they've won, they've seen a lot of success up there. They haven't seen Super Bowl championships, but they've seen a lot of playoff teams and a lot of really good football. And, you know, to go from a team that won 13 games in the regular season, went to the championship game, yeah, when you're in that spot, and you know, as we all know, everyone says, well, we're just a piece or two away, but you also don't realize, you know, there's a lot of things. The ball bounces your way a lot when you go 13-3, unless you're Tom Brady or Peyton Manning back in the day, or maybe Drew Brees, who consistently are winning 11, 12, 13 football games, it seems like, every year. For everybody else, when you win 13 games, you probably got a timely turnover time or two. You probably made a couple field goals here and there. You know, some good things happen during the season for you to get to that number. It's just really, really hard to do and then to repeat unless you have a Hall of Fame sort of level quarterback. And, you know, the Vikings don't have that. So now it's off to Kevin Stefanski. You know, Kevin, I've known for a long time. He's going to be now the offensive coordinator. He was the quarterback's coach. He's been that organization from the get-go when Brad Childress came there. I think it's in 2006. So he's been there for a long time. They've kept him there through all these different head coaches, and he's worked his way up from basically the head coach's assistant to quality control to running backs coach, tight ends coach, the quarterback's coach, and now he's the offensive coordinator calling the play. So, you know, we'll see if that experience within that organization and understanding Mike Zimmer for a long, long time will help this team win more football games.
Sage, you talked about it before, Tony Sperano's guys, that offensive line, have they been that bad? Is it mostly run blocking, or is it pass protection, or is it everything?
Well, let's just start off. They don't pass protect great, so that's for dang sure, but they also are asked to pass protect a lot, and I think by the way they were scouted to come there, by the way Tony originally coached a lot of these guys, whether it's free agency or college, you know, they were looking for some maulers. And they got guys who I think want to fire off the football, and they really haven't been given that opportunity. You know, Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray, the two running backs, they are averaging both over 4 yards per carry. So it's not like they can't run the football.
Right.
They just don't run the football. They also don't run a lot of screens for whatever reason. You know, screen games, the linemen like those games too. They get to get out on the edge. They don't have to pass protect as long. They get to, you know, go beat up on some safeties and some corners sometimes, which is a lot of fun for those guys. You know, let those guys be who they are. They're a bunch of maulers, but they've been asked to pass protect 45 times a game, and it really hasn't given them a chance.
Sage, did you get to see I'm sure you did 100 times, the Miami Miracle. What did you think about that down here last week?
First thing that hit my mind was, one, that is the Jared Zebranski Boise State play. Number two, we ran that play in my first ever career start at Baltimore 2004, the end of the Dave Wansett era. Jim Bates was the head coach. You know, Mark Trestman was basically the coordinator at the end of that season. And we ran it almost a success, actually got the ball to the curl route, flipped it to Chris Chambers, who was going to run the option with somebody before he got tackled. So, you know, I'd seen that play, you know, execute before to success, obviously, against Oklahoma with Boise State. It was not surprising. What was surprising for me was Bill Belichick having Gronkowski back there. That was surprising because Tannehill, I just don't think he has a 75-yard arm.
Right.
So you're talking about probably you're going to have somebody's got to make a tackle if there is a completion. And, I don't think Rob Gronkowski is that guy. So that's how it's supposed to be executed, just like that. Catch the ball, flip to somebody else. Hopefully everyone, comes into that curl route. Couple guys fall down. Then you run the option, and off you go and give yourself a chance. And that was perfectly executed. And honestly, if you look at the tape and you review it multiple times, look at the New England defensive linemen not completely running full speed to try to catch up to the football, because those are the guys who usually make the tackle.
Yeah, I think that the key thing is having Kenyon Drake be the last one that's got the football, who's your fastest and best player at that point for open field. Yeah, that thing worked out perfectly. Hey, I wanted to ask you about the defense. One thing's, damn, Minnesota's got a good defense. 38 sacks again this year. Third down defense is number one. They're fifth overall. It's just amazing to me that they're basically a 500 team at this point with all that talent and all those good players on defense too.
You know, Joe, I've known you for a long time, right? I got traded to the Dolphins in 2002. I played four seasons there. Does this team not remind you of about 2003 when we had Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor and Junior Seau and Sam Madison?
I think you're onto something. All those wasted stars good defenses. That's right.
Stars all over the defense, and an offensive line that struggled to run the football, even with Ricky. Struggled to pass protect, I've known Rick Spielman for a long time, and he was part of the group that put that team together. Exceptional, I think, talent evaluator from an athlete standpoint, which works better for defense. But in a similar situation, and I was part of that, you could say the failed process of trying to get that great quarterback in Miami post Dan Marino.
You need to stop. Do not call yourself ever a failure.
Don't do that.
Well, whatever. I didn't end up being Dan. That's for dang sure. So. I didn't even have being Billy Joe Tolliver, for crying out loud. But Rick has struggled to find that quarterback, in Miami, whether it was the A.J. Feely trade or when he went up to Minnesota. He's been in Minnesota now for a long time. They have yet to find a great quarterback. Obviously, you could say the 1 year with Favre, but nobody had anything to do with that other than Favre saying basically he wanted to play football. So that has been a struggle for him, the quarterback position, but everything else, he does a very good job, in particular, I think, on defense, of evaluating talent, finding skilled athletes who can play the game, finding, we have a kid named Daniil Hunter up there who sort of reminds me of a thicker Jason Taylor, maybe not as quick, but extremely good defense eventually. They get good pass rush. They got Linville Joseph, who sort of plays that Tim Bowens role, on the inside. And they got some good corners up there, too. So, they draft a lot. They draft heavily on defense. They have two first-round corners, and they went out and got another first-round corner this year in Mike Hughes, who tore his ACL early in the year. So they draft that way, too. So, yeah, in a lot of ways, it reminds me of those early 2000 Miami Dolphins teams. And, if they could just get in the playoffs, defense can win games. But, right now, with the struggles of their offense, they may not get in the playoffs. They may be on the outside looking in.
6-6-1 on the season. Minnesota's up there. By the way, Joe's coming up early on Friday. What kind of weather is he looking at for 36 hours before game time?
Bring your parka, bring some gloves, and bring a hat and a scarf. Don't forget about the scarf.
Scarf's important
in the cold weather.
Yep.
You're telling me it's going to be pretty cold and nasty outside, aren't you? Is that what you're telling me?
It won't be great. I tell you, it's not, today it's probably going to be over the freezing mark, which is nice. And I'm not, Joe, have you been to the new stadium?
I have.
It is.
Beautiful.
It is a absolutely beautiful stadium, and for Dolphins fans who are going to watch the game, and it might almost, if it's sunny outside, half the roof is glass, and so you might actually almost seem like you're looking at an outdoor game. It is a beautiful, and I think probably the coolest stadium that I've been. Of course, I haven't been in the new stadium down there in South Florida, but this is an exceptional dome. If they're going to build domes like this, it's not a bad way to go.
It's a nice
beautiful
one.
Stadium right downtown. Obviously, just held the Super Bowl, And I'm really lucky that I get to go there multiple times a year and watch the Vikings play.
Follow him on Twitter at Sage Rosenfels 18, former NFL quarterback,
Sage Rosenfels,
Dolphin
man.
Quarterback. Writes for the Good Athletic, guy. Minnesota now. Locked on NFL podcast. You're doing a lot, Sage. Thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Sage.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that was Sage Rosenfels. You got all that weather stuff or what? I figured to ask because you weren't coming.
Don't worry, I ain't changing the way I was going to dress anyway.
You going to go with the Iron Eagle leather jacket that he sent me?
You know what? I'm putting that thing away. I'm not wearing it anymore.
Are you
going
to be embarrassed to wear it
now? I'm not wearing it anymore. You guys, they got ripped.
Like, Ian's going to be there looking for you on Sunday with that leather jacket.
I'm going to have to wear I don't even have another jacket. It's terrible.
Are you going to be in Dolphins garb?
Yeah,
he's going to be in the free
Dolphins
garb.
Stuff, exactly.
All right, speaking of the Dolphins and Vikings, that's coming up on Sunday. Injury report brought to you by the UHealth Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Did not practice yesterday. Xavien Howard still waiting to find out what's going on with his knee. Danny Amendola was kind of one of those old man days. That's why he didn't practice yesterday, although it says knee on the injury report. Limited. Cornell Armstrong, Kenyon Drake, Jawan James, T.J. McDonald, Devontae Parker, Ryan Tannehill, and Laramie Tunsil. That is your injury report brought to you by the UHealth Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. We'll come back. We'll take more of your text and all that in the 9 o'clock hour. We still got to finish off the 8 o'clock hour.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Join the 411 Pain WQAM Street Team and Hawk this Saturday, 3 to 6 p.m. at Beef O'Brady's in Cooper City. Watch a game. Win Orange Bowl tickets. Yes, you heard me correct. Win Orange Bowl tickets. It's a pretty big game. And enjoy game day's favorite light lager. Details at WQAM.com. I'll say it again. Win Orange Bowl tickets. Not register to win Orange Bowl tickets. Someone will win Orange Bowl tickets this Saturday, 3 to 6 p.m. with Hawk at Beef O'Brady's in Cooper City.
Hopefully you get a good game. And Oklahoma can get just a few stops defensively.
Well, that might be impossible. We might just have to outscore Alabama.
Or Oklahoma's just going to – their mindset's got to be, we got to score every time we get the ball or we are in big, big trouble.
Remember the game plan for Oklahoma all season long going into each game. All right, guys, we can't stop anyone. Let's score 50.
Right.
Let's get Kyler Murray the Heisman.
Alabama, to me, still has the best overall team because defensively they're as loaded as they are on – the offensive side of the ball. We got all kinds of stuff going on. The news comes out. Manny Diaz indeed take that Temple job. The defensive coordinator of the Miami Hurricanes is going to have a press conference today at 3 o'clock to take over the job. And listen, he's been waiting for this. Shouldn't be surprised. He got it because of the work he's done here at the University of Miami. His defense the last couple of years has been as good as you could ask for. It really has.
Number two overall defense this year.
It's too bad that they ended up going 7-5 when you consider how good that defense was and really tells you just how bad the offense and special teams combo was, because I thought they were both really bad.
Yep.
Kicking. Just got killed on field position with that. And then the other thing is just the offense. Got to get this quarterback thing figured out here real quickly. Whether it's a guy waiting, if I'm Jaren Williams, I'm pretty pumped up for spring football.
Like, yeah, of course.
I'm going in going, hey, man, this job is wide open. Nikosi Perry, let's go, because it is wide open. You did nothing to win the job. Nothing to think that you're coming back going, whoa. No, he's going to have a good shot. As long as he's learned everything, hopefully he's picked up some of the things. And then they just got to get a passing game. My God, any kind of passing game this year.
That would be nice.
We
got teased in the beginning of the season.
They would
have
a lot better season. Any kind of passing game, not just quarterback, but the receivers too. And just get it, of course, overcoming all the things that they dealt with there at the end of the year. So one more bowl game, and then that's it. We'll find out what Mark Richt's going to do with the defensive coordinator position as Manny Diaz. I always wonder this, too, when a guy takes a job. Does he take any coaches with him?
Well, that's the big question mark now. Does anyone ride with him up there, or does he just take all of it? Because you know at least one guy's going to go. I think he's going to at least scoop one guy to go with him.
If he's close to some guys, he can definitely ask for permission to take him.
Well, think about it. If he goes up and takes the head coaching job, he needs a defensive coordinator. So maybe he takes one of his guys off his own staff and makes him the DC.
The only thing I would say to that is if Mark likes a guy, Mark's going to be able to offer a lot more money to keep him and give him that same job, because I would think that Mark's going to want to run that same kind of defense.
Yeah, you don't want to change anything.
So successful and everything else. Of course, early National Signing Day is next week. We're going to have Larry Bluestein on tomorrow, talk about all the recruiting stuff, get you caught up on the verbals and where guys stand and everything else. So we'll have all that for you from Larry Bluestein.
I got to read you one text that just came in. It's about Manny. 56022, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. This is total BS. Dude totally sold out the team for what? Temple football? Are you kidding me? All about the you, my ass. We got players decommitting left and right. Thanks, Manny. No well wishes here, buddy. Hope we drop 70 on your ass. Go Canes. Someone very upset about Manny leaving.
That Manny took a head coaching job.
Very upset.
At a Division I program. Not knowing how many chances you're going to get. I can't do that.
Yeah. I
was disappointed, but I can't.
It stinks to see him go, but what are you going to do? You're going to stop him from making some extra money and becoming a head
coach? Not everybody to that hardcore fan. Not everybody wants to be a defense coordinator
the whole life.
A lot of guys are motivated to want to be head coaches. And I got to tell you something else you're not going to want to hear, but that Temple's been a good job for a lot of guys that jump up to it. It's been a nice little step to get to a better job. That's the last couple of guys.
All right.
So I can't do that. Screw Manny, and I don't get that. I don't get it.
Yep.
They got things. This thing will work out. They'll be fine. They'll still get some good players. The rankings won't be what they want. But screw Manny. I'm sorry. I'm not aboard.
I was waiting for that to come in this morning.
He had a chance. By the way, you want your coaches to be. You want to have guys that are good enough that they're getting offered jobs from other programs. You want that. I do. Saban's got guys every year
you get a job with Nick. You got a 2-year window there, and you're
getting
a good
job. Those guys go Alabama. They go, if I get a coordinator job, I'm gone within 1 or 2 years.
Isn't that the best
of these guys all go? They're gone.
Nick goes to a recruit, a good enough recruit, and says, 3-year plan. You could probably play professional football. Then he goes to another coach, 1 to 2 year plan. I'll probably get you a coordinator job if you're not a coordinator here. Or if you're a coordinator, maybe you get a head coach.
I don't even think he gets upset.
No, he knows.
They all take off and.
Guys go to the NFL.
I don't get that with Manny Diaz. I don't get Canes fans
being pissed off at Manny.
Mad at Manny about recruiting or mad at Manny. I mean, the timing sucks. I get it. The timing's bad with everything, and that you might lose a player or two that Manny was affiliated with, and maybe they open it back up and people start recruiting him hard. But Manny Diaz, like, how many people out there that have been a coordinator their whole life or a defensive coach now have a chance to be a head coach?
Isn't that the goal if you're a coordinator?
He is going to make more money being a head coach at Temple.
And he should.
Than he is a defensive coordinator, number one. But number two, you want to run your own program. You want to do it, see if you can do it. It ain't a bad team. They're 8-4.
No. Good for Manny. I'm happy for Manny. Sad to see him go, but happy for him. All right, let me read you two other quick texts before we get out of here.
People hate that some guys don't want to stay down here.
They're pissed off. They're Canes fans, and they're pissed off. Doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes, but they're pissed off. A couple people here in the text machine heading up to Minnesota this weekend, by the way. Hey, Joe, traveling from Cali to Minnesota for the game. Wondering if you've ever heard of Manny's or been to Manny's Steakhouse. It's the best in town. I'll be there Saturday night. Swing by. I'll buy you a drink. Trooper Todd.
Well, listen, if I don't know where they got me going to dinner Saturday night. But a lot of folks going with us.
Maybe you'll be at Manny's. Maybe you'll see Trooper Todd there.
I will be entertaining right at 8 o'clock.
I can imagine you will be. Hey, Joe, lots of Dolphin fans will be staying at the Westin in downtown Minneapolis. Murray's is a great restaurant if you're looking for places to go. Hope you see you in a bar somewhere. I'm the one with the hot wife, Neil in Duluth, by the way, of 305.
Wow.
So just look for the guy with the hot wife. That's Neil.
How about that? I mean, the guy didn't have to tell me he's got a hot wife.
I just wanted to. Well, he's obviously.
I will be at a bar somewhere. That's what I do on a weekend.
That's funny. I remember Sage Rosenfels coming off the bench, and his first play was a deep throw touchdown, by the way, for the Dolphins. Was it really? I don't remember that.
He's a little hard on himself about his quarterback play here.
Yeah. Kind of funny. Look at his Twitter profile, career backup.
He said, hey, I didn't end up being Marino. Yeah. Well, no, nobody has. There's like 30 of you guys.
Stand in line.
Go, there's like 30 of you now that have all said the same thing. Don't worry.
And another one says, listening to Sage isn't making me feel great about the game on Sunday as a Dolphins fan.
They got a good team.
Yeah, they do have a good team.
They got a loaded team. Just haven't played well. I don't know if it's system. Is the change in the coordinator going to make – maybe. Maybe it opens up things and – they got to get after him early, but that defense for Minnesota
is good.
Is really, really, really good.
Yeah.
They got a lot of good players, man. They got number one defense on third down, which is pretty impressive stat.
Different guy just texted, tell Manny to take that cheap-ass chain with him. Now fans are just going after Manny. It's just so stupid.
Take the cheap-ass chain, yeah, too? Okay, so we want to – everybody liked it at the time, but now because he's gone, now they want to take the turnover chain. Going, Manny, put that around his head, leaving town.
Manny would have been next in line here. Enjoy Temple trash.
How does anybody know how long before Mark Rick was, it was how long he was going to stay? I do agree. Manny probably is the next guy up, but
another one says, Joe, that's one dummy. Don't cast a blanket over the whole Canes fans. That's just one dummy. I agree with that.
I mean, everybody's entitled. That's why we do these shows, but I always like, really? I got a chance to be a head coach.
And you're going to rip him for it. Give me a break.
He's not going to Colgate.
No, he's not. That's right.
He's going to Division One. I know it's not a Power Five conference. It's a good start. And he figures that's a better way for him to get the job he really wants down the road on the plan, the game plan that he's put together as a coach. And he's looked, and those guys go, look what's happened at Temple. Temple knows if you have success or the guy ain't staying there his whole life. That ain't going to happen.
Sell out, Manny. Now the texts are coming up.
Sell out.
I'm done.
Why do you feel the need to justify this?
I just incredible.
Like it's a coordinator going to get a head coaching job at a big program. Like, what's the problem?
That's supposed to be the path you go on.
I mean, Temple's a good program. Like, that's not a bad job.
Where'd the last two guys that leave, where did they get head coaching jobs? You want to go through that?
Boston College and Georgia Tech, right?
Not bad.
No.
And a guy a long time ago was able to get the job from Temple to UM. I just thought I'd stick that to you this morning. Mm. Hey, I got to talk to you before getting in the 9 o'clock hour. I've been dying to do that all morning with that.
I knew it.
I knew. I had to get a little Al in there. Now the tight ends coach up in Detroit.
Someone asked if Manny Diaz is Jewish. He's going to Temple? No, Temple University.
Yeah, no, that's in Philly.
Radio.com. Radio.com.